Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's high noon on a beautiful long weekend. Good afternoon, it's Alan Mitchell, Low Tide, and we've got a very busy show today. Of course, you know this is Nation Radio, and we have the Oilers past, present, and future, plus the NHL's biggest stories every week. You can email us at nationradio at theteam1260.com, plus we're on Twitter at It's Nation Radio. Today's guest will be Guy Flaming from the Pipeline Show, and coming down the pipe, we'll talk about Team Canada, the World Junior Team's prospects camp in Edmonton this week, and he'll try to educate me about the NCAA-CHL border war. You might have heard a little bit about that in the last hour or so with Guy on the Coming Down the Pipe show and the Pipeline show. James Myrtle from the Globe and Mail, writer, one of the best hockey writers on the planet. I'll ask him about the Lombardi, Tambellini, Milagro, Beanfield war, Nikolai Habibulin situation. He's off to Phoenix, and I think he's entering today or yesterday as far as his time there. The Islanders arena situation and much more with James Myrtle. Mark Spector in hour two from Rogers Sportsnet, one of Edmonton's most credible media people, gets a 1 hour daily show starting in the fall right here on Team 1260. We'll talk to Mark. Hopefully Dustin Nielsen will come by with some news of his own about that. And Jim Byers from the Oklahoma City Barons will talk about the Oilers activity this summer and how it might affect some of the players who were there last year, including, of course, guys like Timo Hartikainen and possibly Jeff Petrie maybe spending some time in Oklahoma City. That and much more throughout the next couple of hours, so we hope you can stay tuned. Lots of things to talk about this week. Dean Lombardi and the LA Kings have filed a grievance with the NHL in regard to the Ryan Smith Colin Fraser trade. There's a disconnect between the two teams in regard to Fraser's health at the time of the deal. There's been an ongoing story, and now it gets interesting, mostly from Helene Elliott and Twitter and the LA Times reporter. She's had a lot of information passed along in the last few weeks. Gary Bettman will apparently listen to both sides and make his decision in the next while. Possible outcomes include, are you ready for this? Reversing the trade, unlikely. Fines for either team, rejigging of the original deal, which is more likely, and draft picks taken away, which seems to me to be a distant bell too, but we'll find out. I don't think it'll be anything really drastic. We'll talk to James specifically about this today, and maybe with Speck as well, but it could be groundbreaking if Bettman rules in favor of the Kings and against the Oilers. It could change the way the NHL does business, because a lot of trades might be conditional, like for instance the draft or maybe even at the deadline, based on all the physicals working out and that sort of thing. That often does happen, but in this particular case, there was, because they wanted to make the deal really quickly, it was the Sunday of the draft, I believe, on the 26th of June. So, interesting story. We'll follow that one today. Nikolai Habibulin no longer using his legal options, serving his prison times, so he'll be ready for the beginning of training camp. It's a big story for a couple of reasons. He won't have that case hanging over his head come the fall, and he should be able to concentrate on having a strong season in 11-12. Nikolai Habibulin halfway through that four-year deal. Coach Rennie this week commented that the Oilers need to have quality goaltending. It's going to be important in the fall because Habibulin does have some competition with Devin Dubnyk and Jan Denis, who was signed basically to an AHL deal, but he is in the background of the story as well. Hockey Canada has their summer development camp next week, Wednesday through Sunday, coming up in Edmonton and Fort McMurray. Oiler fans can see Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Tyler Bunns, Dylan Simpson, and some local guys, lots as a matter of fact, Joe Morrow, Mark Pisick. There was also Dylan Simpson, been just a few minutes ago in here, and he'll be at the camp as well. The red and white game is next Saturday at 6 o'clock at Rexall. There's a Sunday game at Fort McMurray at 6 o'clock as well. That's one of the reasons why we have Guy Flaming joining us right now. Guy, I'm really appreciative of the fact that you could stay for an extra 15 minutes or so.
I'm happy to be here, too. I'm a little intimidated, to be honest.
Connor does have an imposing face. He really is. He's an imposing guy. First of all, let's talk about the Hockey Canada and the World Juniors, and starting on Wednesday, 47 of the best juniors available. You're going to be covering that?
Yeah, I'm going to get down there as much as I can, and as much as the boss allows me to go.
Well, there you go. And how's she doing?
She's doing well. See, we're home renovating, so I got all these things that I got to do at home. But
you know, you've been home renovating for about 5 years now.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Are you, like, any good at it? Or
yeah, I'm about as handy at home as a snake, so.
I think maybe you should just look after the kids and let her go to work. I think that might be the plan. Yeah. Okay, 47 of the best juniors. What can fans look forward to from you? And then when they go down there on Saturday, I know that this is a game, this is obviously the beginning, and that you've got to get some traction in this camp. Mm-hmm. A guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins should be considered a favorite to
if he's available. If he's not, you know, busy playing for the Oilers, I think he's a lock to make this team. No question about that. But I mean, he's going to be probably one of the most viewed guys down there for sure. Obviously, it's in Edmonton, so Oiler fans are going to be all over them. The red and white game is going to be exciting. I know they go to Fort Mac for the second one. I don't know how many fans from here will trek up there, but or media for that concern. But I think it's going to be the Ryan Nugent Hopkins show here. I think this week, I think that's he's going to be the guy that gets the most coverage for sure.
And you'll be going to Fort McMurray.
I will not be going to Fort McMurray.
what kind of dedication does that really?
I kind of half-ass it. Come on. No, I won't be going to Fort Mac.
You know, there's signs and everything on the way up there, Guy. They got the hole, the pavement and everything.
That's Dustin's old stomping ground. We'll let him go to Fort Mac.
He probably got a place for you to crash up there.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe.
Just check it out. You know, make a phone call for crying out loud. Okay, well, let's talk. We've talked a little bit about that. I know you had that on your show this morning, but the red and white game Saturday at 6 o'clock at Rexall, which is great. I think it's great because we live in a city where, I mean, it's beautiful, obviously very beautiful outside right now, but you can actually watch a Saturday night game. Yeah. In the middle of summertime. I'm looking forward to that totally. One of the reasons I had you on the show is I've been reading a lot on the internet, and I don't, you know, there's a lot of things I don't know about. This one is I'm curious about. The NCAA and the CHL seem to be having a little bit of a war here, and the CHL is winning a lot since draft day. A lot of kids have said, you know, I'm going to this university or college, and now they're going to the CHL teams. Is this an NHL team saying what their preference is, or are these kids just getting good deals from the? What's the situation? Why is this happening?
Well, we think, you know, we always hear about how the OHL teams are paying players under the table. We don't have any proof of that, so I mean, we can't really say that's the case. In Jamie Oleksiak's case, a little bit different situation for him because he was in the NCAA last year and his coach is now gone. He's in Toronto. So the guy that recruited him is no longer there. See, I don't really hold it against him for him to look elsewhere, and his option in the OHL is with Saginaw. So he jumps ship and goes to Saginaw. Interesting, he's also jumping ship from the U.S. to play for Canada at the World Juniors after not making the team last year in the States. But for the other guys, and you know, we talked to JT Miller is a good example. We talked to all these guys throughout the course of the season on our show, and he told us flat out that you know he's got a choice to go to Plymouth or to North Dakota. He's leaning towards North Dakota. He's going to wait until he's drafted and talk to whichever team drafts him, and kind of go make his final decision there. Happens to be the Rangers who. Did they push him to Plymouth? Don't know, because the Rangers also own the rights to Stephen Fogarty, who the Edmonton Oil Kings own the rights to and really wanted to get in their lineup, and he's not coming to the CHL. So is it a case of the Rangers pushing Miller but not pushing Fogarty? I find that hard to believe. So I think it was probably the kid, more or less, looking, and maybe academics isn't strong for him, so he doesn't want to go to the college route. I think it really comes down to individual decisions for these players. But when you've got five or six in the last 10 days, optically it looks horrible for the NCAA.
It also is interesting, I find, because the one kid out of the first round who has said, I'm going to play in the NCAA is a Toronto draft.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, well, this isn't along allegiances at all. It's just maybe what's best for the player.
Yeah, and you look and who's the GM for Toronto is Brian
Providence,
Burke.
Yeah.
And, he obviously played in Providence. He's got a big background of supporting USA Hockey and a lot of collegiate players. I mean, we just had Ben Scrivens in studio, college guy who Brian Burke signed. They've got a lot of college guys in their system. You look at Bozak and Joe Colburn and all these guys that played college. He's a big college supporter, so I don't think he's going to push Tyler Biggs to leave. And it's Miami, where his son was also working before he passed away. So I think there's really strong ties with the Red Hawks. I don't see him pushing Tyler Biggs to leave.
Okay, let's talk about the experience. It seems to me that the NCAA experience is significantly different in a lot of ways. Obviously, you're getting your education at the same time you're playing hockey, whereas in the CHL, you might put that off. There's also more practice time in the NCAA, fewer games, maybe more of what we might call a European style in terms of ice time and spent on skill development than actual games. And aside from what I've just said, what are the other major differences between the two?
The age level that you're playing against. Dylan Simpson, who was just in, he was the youngest player in Division I hockey last year at 17 years old. Most guys, freshmen nowadays, are 19. 18-year-old freshmen are becoming rare. So, I mean, if you're a 19-year-old, you're playing against 23, 24-year-olds, whereas in the CHL, like Oleksiak, for example, last year as an 18-year-old, is playing against 22 and 23-year-olds. This year, he's going to be playing against 16 and 17-year-olds in the CHL. I mean, that's a huge difference.
Right.
Talent-wise, the 18-year-olds in the CHL are going to be probably on, better talent-wise than the guys in the college system because There are no 18-year-old, stars in college hockey. I mean, those guys are rare. Jonathan Toews was a big player, obviously. Jaden Schwartz last year, who's going to be here this week for Canada. I mean, those guys are becoming more and more rare. So I would say age factor is the age of the level of the competition is the biggest difference.
Is the USHL or the U.S. National Development Program, are those also siphoning players away from the NCAA programs, or are they just feeders?
Yeah, no, the USHL is definitely a feeder for college. It's like the BCHL and the AJHL, just happens to be south of the border. And in fact, the USHL is probably a better league than the AJ or the BCHL just because of the number of players it can draw from, because it's across the whole country. If you put the AJ and the BCHL together, that would be interesting. What was the other one? The USHL and which? Oh, the U.S. Development Program. Mm-hmm. No, I think their mandate is to win international hockey tournaments, and most of those players will go to the NCAA. But now when they're done playing for the U18 team, a lot of those players are making a choice between the CHL and college ranks, and I think three or four of those guys that did it this week, are coming up to the CHL. There's a couple guys next year that'll be interesting to see because they're WHL guys, in Seth Jones, who will probably end up in Everett, and the Oil Kings have a guy named Henrik Samuelsson that he could be a first round pick in 2012.
Okay.
Could come here next year.
So, from what I'm gathering, this is just a personal choice mostly, and it just happens to be looking, bad this week for the NCAA.
Yeah, that's kind of the read that I'm getting on it, is that, it happens every year with four or five players. Just this year, it's all happening, within 10 days.
Okay, I have several emails for our guest today, and I got one from Speeds, and there's several questions here. I'm going to just do rapid fire
here. Speeds is so much more intelligent than I am.
I've had him on the show a couple of times, and I'm like, why don't you just drive in here? I'll open the door for you. We'll give you a microphone. I'll come back in 2 hours.
He's going to ask me a question, and I'm going to say I'll have to get back to you, and then I'll email him and ask him what the answer is.
Okay, first question. Who right now do you feel are the top three or five players for the 2012 draft?
Right now, you got a couple Russians in Nail Yakupov, who plays in Sarnia, and Mikhail Grigorenko, who is the first or second overall pick in the import draft, is going to play with the Quebec Remparts this year. Those two guys will be high. There's a Galienchuk. I'm mispronouncing his name. I don't have it in front of me. Plays in Sarnia as well. A Russian guy who grew up in the States. He's going to be a high pick. Then you've got some defensemen out of the WHL, especially Ryan Murray in Everett, Griffin Reinhart right here, Derek Pouliot, Morgan Riley, guys like that. So I think it's a really strong year for defensemen, for sure. There's probably 15 first-rounders this year.
That's
just
crazy.
Defensemen. Yeah.
The Oilers must be thrilled with that.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, that's what they need now, right?
Yeah. He wants to know your initial projections, or what are you hearing for Grigorenko and MacKinnon, who's not 2012 eligible for the Q next year?
Well, MacKinnon, I mean, the comparisons to Crosby are already out there because they grew up on the same street, basically, and they're both going to the Q, and MacKinnon is really following in Crosby's footsteps a lot. I think that, projecting them to be the next Crosby is lofty expectations for sure, but he seems to be, at this point, Curtis Lazar of the Oil Kings outscored him at the Canada Games last year. Those two guys might be the one and two picks for 2013.
Wants to know, I hinted yesterday or today about the lack of Russians that have been selected recently by the Oilers in the last, 5-10 years.
Yeah.
Do you see that this is something that might well change in the 2012 draft with Yakubov, Grigorenko, and the guy you called Galienchuk? I'm sure that's not his name.
I think it's Galchenyuk, but
yeah.
Geez,
you're doing a great job. Should get out more. Drive to Fort Mac, learn some culture.
I don't know. I honestly don't see a small market team taking a chance on a Russian high in the draft just because of that risk factor. I mean, Nikita Filatov was supposedly the safest Russian you could take.
Yeah.
And look what's happened there. So I don't see the Oilers. You mentioned it. The Oilers and Russians have gone together like oil and water the last few years, unless you're taking somebody late, like Alex Bumagin, who never did happen to come over, but he was the last pick one draft. So, no, I don't see the Oilers going out and taking. Galchenyuk, if that's his name, might be somebody like that because he's been playing in North America. But I don't think they go out and get Yakupov. I don't think they're going to be picking that high anyway.
No, I agree. And you know what? I blame you for Yukov. If you just interviewed him, he would have come over here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I wanted you to clear something up for him. He's heard that CHL players sometimes lose their future college scholarships if they sign as a pro. If that's the case, how important can the future schooling be for players drafted in the first round, the guys that know they'll be signing and going pro after major junior and might be losing out on that opportunity?
Yeah, guys who go, you know, play through the CHL, they get a year of scholarship for every year they played in the league. But if they turn pro, I think, what is the rule? 18 months? You're going to lose those scholarships. So what was the second half of his question? These guys
might be the first round picks might be losing that opportunity. And then the CHL players sometimes lose their future college scholarships as when they sign as pro. So it's kind of a double edge, but you answered both sides.
Yeah, because I mean, a first round pick probably isn't going to be going back to school anyway if he goes through the CHL because he's going to be playing pro.
Right.
I mean, that's the CHL is like work experience. You know, when you're done the CHL, you're either ready to play professional hockey or you're not going to be playing pro hockey.
Right, right. And you can even see it when teams decide to sign players and then maybe don't. Speaking of which, the Oilers have not signed pro contracts for Martindale and Brandon Davidson. Now, they're at 49 contracts right now, so then it might just be a matter of them not, you know, coming to camp and then possibly signing them then. And there's a chance that Nugent Hopkins or, say, Marinchin might come back to junior. So
I think Marinchin will.
Okay. Then they'll come back off of that. Do you think that's just a function of the 50-man roster, or do you think Martindale and Davidson, who got a late start in hockey, may end up coming back for their 20-year-old season?
He could go back to Regina because, as you said, late start in junior hockey. And I've talked to people who think he probably could go down and play pro hockey, but would it be in Stockton? And if it is, why wouldn't you just send him back to Regina?
Right.
You know, so I think he's probably a guy, you know, on the fence, but I think I'd like to see him back in the WHL, to be honest. Ryan Martindale, different situation, big guy. He might be physically ready for that next step, but, you know, I could see both of them back in the CHL as far as that goes. But I think you're right, Marinchin, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, those guys, I think you're going to be the swing picks. Or the swing factor in where those other guys end up, too.
Right. Okay, good point. Now, a couple of quick questions about your show, and then I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
First one is, at this time of year, you're kind of gearing up. When do you start really looking at 2012 draft, doing your previews? I know that you do really good interviews throughout the year on these eligible kids. When do you really start getting that into gear?
Well, we call September has traditionally been the first the start of the new season for us. We actually changed it. Next Tuesday is going to be the start of season 7 for us, because scouting wise, the Ivan Hlinka tournament is the start of the new year. So we decided we were going to follow along with that. So
that's a good idea.
We'll probably start getting 2012 guys on the show in September.
Okay.
Griffin Reinhart's agreed to blog with us this year, so that's something we do every year as well, is get two or three guys who are, you know, hopefully high-profile guys to blog with just during the course of the year. Eberle did it in his draft year. Joel Colburn did it. John Moore in Columbus did it. Last year we had Travis Iwanek do it. And Dylan Willick, who actually didn't end up getting drafted, but he went to Minnesota Wild's prospect camp and was awesome there, apparently. So Griffin Reinhart's going to do it for us this year. We got a few other guys that are going to do it as well. We haven't just confirmed them yet. But all of that stuff will – Reinhart's blogging will probably start in mid-August, after he comes back from the Ivan Hlinka tournament, and then we'll kick all the 2012 stuff into gear in September.
Are you starting next year, next week, because you want to make sure Millard's actually at the first show and you're not sure about the rest of the year?
That's good. Yeah, you never know.
I don't know. Do you pay him by the hour, or how does that work?
Well, that would have been good thinking. That would have been, that would have been smart.
You know, if I can get bus fare to Fort Mac for you, would you go just to cover the event? Because I know you're really busy with your... You know,
yeah, you got to clear it with the boss. But if she lets me go,
Gee, thanks.
Go to Fort Mac. Hey, no problem. Al,
all right, Gee Flaming, of course, from Pipeline Show and various other coming down the pipe. Great blog and good guy. Thanks very much to Gee. We'll be back right after this.